44. "So," Levi says, "it can throw horses?" The horse bucks and twists as it pinwheels through the air. Tuakalu is big, but it's hard to imagine he wields the strength to catapult a horse. Unless it really is some kind of demigod, demon spawn whose power is unnatural. In the past, writing such things off, including the Bible in which such creatures exist, would have been simple. But I've not only seen the monster with my own eyes, I'm actually in the past. Anything seems possible. Demigods, demons, even God himself, who I imagine is either really pissed off at Langdon for screwing with the natural order of things he created, or is having a good laugh at our expense. "Back," Flores says, diving away from the windows. The horse slams into and through the glass, exploding shards into the room. The beast lies still, dead from the impact, its neck bent at a sharp angle. A deep sing-song voice follows the horse. "Tis do, rabbit. Tuakalu is definitely here for us. For me." Ducked down, hidden from anything out in the forest, Levi says, "So, have y'all tried, I don't know, compelling it with the power of Christ or something?" Enola's face screws up, not understanding the movie reference. It's possible she's familiar with the Bible, but certainly not The Exorcist. "Half demon," I say, "not possessed by one. And if a few dozen shotgun shells didn't put it down, I'm not sure what good shouting at it will do." "Then what's the plan?" Levi asks. It's a great question to which I have no answer. The power station is shut down and abandoned. Whatever we could have stopped by cutting the power, it's too late for that. Langdon has what he needs to get when he's going. He let us come this far because it kept the giant and us out of his hair. Stealth, avoidance, retreat. Flores looks uncomfortable with the rudimentary plan he's just offered. He's not the type to back down from a fight, but he has no illusions about who will win. On the surface, it makes sense. If Tuakalu can't find us, he can't kill us. But I suspect he's skilled enough to track us down. Even if we split up, he'll hunt us one by one. "How did he die?" I ask Enola. "Was he killed?" She nods. "But I do not know how. It was before my time, and those who bore witness were found dismembered by his tribe." "There's a whole tribe of these things?" Cassie asks. "Far in the west," Enola says. "But it can be killed?" I ask. "Maybe if we put enough rounds in it, we'll get lucky," Flores says, and it's as good a plan as any. But I'm still not convinced it's the right play. We also need to protect the remaining horses. Without them, we'll be walking back and getting nowhere fast. "How fast is he?" I ask Enola. "Faster than you," she says. "Faster than a horse?" No one likes the sound of that. "You think we can fight it on the run?" Flores asks. "Not we," I say. "Uh-uh," Cassie says. "No way. Just long enough to buy you all enough time to reach Black Creek first." Levi's eyes widen. "You're planning an ambush." Flores nods his approval. "Good work. There's enough firepower in town to turn that thing into paste. But what makes you think we can reach the horses? Could be that thing chased them in here to flush us out." Cassie nods. "It hasn't attacked yet." "Tuakalu is a patient hunter," Enola says. "If we leave, then we die." "We need a distraction," I say. "You want one of us to run around out there so the others can escape?" Levi is aghast, despite me saying no such thing. "I think that's..." "I'll do it," Flores says. "You'll die," Enola and Levi say in unison. "I know what I'm doing," he argues. "Won't be hard to..." "Guys," I say. "We're in the Cretaceous with dinosaurs. Something killed the people here. Something tore down that fence and she..." I motion to Enola. "Saw something out there watching that wasn't the giant." "So what?" Levi says. "You're like a dinosaur whisperer now?" "Pretty sure there is one thing predators in any time will respond to," I say. "Wounded prey," Enola says. "So step one, we summon a dinosaur. Step two, we reach the horses while the hunter dukes it out with said dinosaur. Step three, we ride like hell to Black Creek." Cassie looks frazzled, but she's wearing her "let's do this" phase. "Almost," I say. "You four ride ahead." "Right," Cassie says, expression souring. "The ambush, and if that doesn't work, get to Synergy, stop Langdon." "Love how you make that sound simple," she says. "It is simple," I say, "just not easy." She rolls her eyes. Seize do. The giant sings again, much louder now, much closer. At 12 feet plus tall, it can nearly look up into the window. I wave everyone to move deeper into the building. We slide along the floor, staying low and quiet. Outside, the monster chuckles. It can hear us. Probably smell us, too. So, Levi says, how do we simulate wounded prey? Scream, Cassie says, real loud. Now might be a good time to start. Levi's face has gone pale. He's looking past the dead horse out the window filled with orange light and thick fingers. Tsul'Kalu's face slides up into view, his eyes burning with savage delight, his teeth bared in a menacing smile. His dark red hair is covered by the saber-toothed cat's head, its skin hanging behind him as a cloak. When he starts laughing, I scream, not entirely out of fear, but my emotions lend an air of realism to the sound. The others join in, wailing as loud as they can. It's a horrible sound, and in any time it sounds like a dying wail. Of all the possible responses to our screaming, the giant's is the least expected. Instead of trying to crawl through the window or mocking us or attempting to throw something at us, it joins in, screaming into the sky. He is so loud that the sound of his agonized voice drowns out our own and silences us. When he finishes, his voice echoing into the distance, no doubt heard by the people in Black Creek, he turns back to look at us, smiling. His grin fades when he notices that I'm the only one left, and I have a rifle pointed at his face. I pull the trigger, firing off a single round when I'm expecting to unleash a full auto barrage. I forgot that the weapon I'm using is semi-auto with a bump stock, which operates different from conventional arms. The result is that instead of turning the giant's head into pulp, I put a single round into its cheek. Before I can adjust how I'm handling the weapon, Tsul'Kalu drops out of sight. Shit. I bolt for the window, taking aim as the giant rounds the building's corner. I put three rapid-fire bullets in his calf before he disappears. Despite spattering the concrete with purple gore, the only sound from Tsul'Kalu is one of pleasure. It's almost orgasmic and really disturbing. Leaping down a flight of stairs, I reach the ground floor in seconds and run for the building's far side. At the window, I raise my weapon, expecting to fire into the giant's back. But I don't see anything or anyone until a massive hand shatters through the glass, grasps my clothing, and yanks me outside. I'm tossed to the ground, rolling to a stop in an open courtyard. There's nowhere to hide, nowhere to run. Off to the building's side, I catch sight of Flores, horse reins in hand. He pauses, looking ready to offer assistance. I give my head a slow shake and push myself up. He knows the deal. The mission comes first. Right now, Tsul'Kalu is a stumbling block, preventing him from completing the mission that future me tasked him with. Stop Langdon, even at the cost of my life. Twice. The giant turns his head toward the sound of fading horse hooves, but he just chuckles. He is supremely confident in his ability to catch the others, which means I need to delay him for as long as possible. The question is, how? I scan the wounds I've already inflicted on the thing and find them missing. Purple blood stains his face and calf, but there are no bullet holes. He heals fast, stupid fast. That's how he survived Kuzneski's shotgun barrage. So how do I stop something that heals? Go for the kill shot, I think. With people that center mass are a headshot. I'm not confident center mass will do it. I'm not even sure a clean headshot will do it. But putting a bullet in this creature's brain should slow it down. I face the giant, letting him stare me down. The longer this takes, the better the odds are for the others. Tsul'Kalu says something in a language I don't understand, but the tone is clear enough. He's taunting me. You're pretty fucking ugly yourself, I say, garnering a look of confusion from the creature. He doesn't understand me either, but he reads my tone just as easily. He stands up straight, relaxing as he points at me and then at himself. Not at his body, but at his clothing. The skins of humans and animals hang from his waist in sheets. The saber-toothed skin blows in the wind rolling out from Adele as the sun sets. Tsul'Kalu has been busy collecting trophies, and he's letting me know that I'm about to be next. I unleash a stream of bullets, tracing them up from his gut and towards his face. Again, the monster seems to enjoy the pain, but as the first round punches through his neck, he steps to the side. He's protecting his head. He dropped away from the window when I shot him in the face, too. That's the key, I realize. Headshot it is. As I eject the magazine and move to slap in my only spare, the giant charges, hands outstretched. That's also the same moment something big roars behind me, the sound mixing with breaking branches, and the heavy thump of a newcomer thundering into the ring.